Good morning and welcome to Fairhope Hospice Presents, sponsored by Fairhope Hospice and Palliative Care, your original hometown hospice, which includes the Pickering House, Hospice of Fairfield County, Hospice of Hocking County, and Hospice of Perry County. The views expressed on today's show are those of the participants and may not reflect the views of the staff and management of WLOH Radio Company. Now, here's your host for Fairhope Hospice Presents, Denise Bauer. And a little something different today on Fairhope Hospice Presents as the interviewers become the interviewees.
Talking about hospice and palliative care, Fairhope Hospice, we've got Denise Bauer. She is the chief executive officer from Fairhope Hospice. I bet a lot of people do that, don't they?
You know,
Fairhope.
No, you know, that's cute because Rick
I thought it was Hairhope when I hired him. So now they tell me it's Fairhope.
And, you know, he's, you know, Miss Law on top. We kind of use that as a joke. So that's great, Ann. Yeah. We love it.
Yeah. You fit right
you
in,
know
Ann.
Me. I'm always one for a joke. And we've also got Rick Schneider. He's the community education coordinator, talking about the things and the activities going on with Fairhope Hospice. And, you know, I have some personal questions of my own. As you know, Denise, I used your services with my mother, and it's such a comfort. And everybody that uses Fairhope Hospice never comes away and says, I could have gotten along without them. They say, how could I have gotten along without them? And I want to talk a little bit about that today. First of all, for somebody that doesn't know exactly what is hospice, it's more than just bringing cookies and punch to family members when somebody is dying. Tell me about it.
Absolutely, Anne. Our main goal is to treat people the way they want to be treated, you know, with comfort and dignity. All of our patients are diagnosed as terminally ill, and, you know, none of us can ever put, you know, a time limit on someone's life. But in the best guess, the physician has to say that the patients have 6 months or less to be appropriate for hospice. Now, we've had patients that have lived 2 years on our hospice. Their disease just has progressed a little slower.
Is good.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've actually had patients that have done really well and have even been signed off hospice. And then if they would decline again, they could come back on. Our goals are to look at people's comfort levels, mm-hmm. and to treat them physically, emotionally, spiritually, to look at the whole person and to take care of not only them, but their family, significant others. You know, our goal is to make this journey for them, you know, what they want it to be, and to provide comfort and compassion and really to celebrate their lives. You know, we talk about, you know, yeah, this isn't sometimes the most comfortable topic. I know Rick and I, a lot of times, will do health fairs and things, and people, you know, will just kind of walk by us and, you know, not want
to talk about hospice.
If I talk about hospice
no
and
eye
death,
contact.
Yeah, it's going to happen. And I remember, I don't know if it was a chamber event or something, but they put us right next to a funeral home. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
That was double whammy. Do you remember that? It was a few years ago.
It was a health fair. Health in parentheses. Yeah.
Was that like a joke or was that just a coincidence?
No, they didn't mean to.
Diabolical coincidence.
But, you know, really, over the.
Rick's the comedian of the group, isn't he?
He is a comedian. I just play along.
Always have to have a sense of humor, especially
absolutely.
When dealing with death.
And, you know, the thing is with what we do, you know, we've actually seen some changes over the years. And I think people are accepting hospice more because they realize we're just there to help. We're not here to shorten anyone's lives or anything like that. We are here to provide comfort, medically directed. We take all of our orders directly from a physician. And, you know, it can be their attending physician or it can be our medical directors that assist with the care. So we have a doctor available to us always 24 hours a day. And, you know, when you think about if you've ever taken care of and you have, Ian, you know, mm-hmm. ill family members, but even to have one in your home for 24 hours a day, I mean, that can be, you know, it can be very difficult. You know, just think about your animals, your pets. I mean, mm-hmm, you know, how much responsibility they are, and you can leave them. Mm-hmm. There's times where, you know, our patients get to the point where they can't be left alone. Mm-hmm. And we know that that is a lot of care by families. And so we teach the families what to do, but we also want to be there to provide that comfort and support. Oftentimes, at the very end of life, we're providing as much care for the families as we are for the patients. You know, trying to, you know, talk to them about what to expect, you know, educate them on, you know, the patient and how to take care of them. We have the Pickering House now, you know, that we utilize as well, which I'm sure we can talk about that too. But most of the care we have, you know, let's say 120 patients on hospice a day average right now. Let's say of those
in
patients.
In Fairfield County, you have 120?
Well, we service Fairfield, Hocking, Perry, and the surrounding areas.
Okay.
Go a little bit into Licking, Little Franklin, you know, a little mm-hmm. Pickaway. But
120
primarily,
is a lot of patients.
It is. And when you think about that, you know, the Pickering House holds 12 maximum, which I think we have 9 in there today. Mm-hmm. So it just depends, you know, but most of our care is always provided in the patient's homes. And sometimes those homes are patients in nursing homes or assisted livings. Mm-hmm. Wherever the patient calls home is where we provide care.
And not only do we provide it in the home, we provide it where they want in the home. I've been a volunteer since 1997, and I've had patients in the garage, a detached garage next to the street rod, in our workshop, wherever they want to have the bed and everything set up. That's where we do it. Recreation room. I had one patient, he had a split level.
Stop, Rick. Don't ever put me in the garage. Well, the family may be a little sick of me, but please don't put me in the garage.
Well, I tell people I like to be putting Gypsy Joe's ice cream just in the back. You know, just give me a scoop once in a while, I'll be fine.
You know, that reminds me of a story. One time we had a nurse, and this was a patient that actually lived in an outlying area, but owned their own, when you talk about garage, their own auto shop, okay? Mm-hmm. And this man, and it's always a little intimidating to have your supervisor make a visit with you, even though I try to make it light and mm-hmm. and things. But the nurse was a little intimidated by my presence, of course. And, you know, I was trying to tell jokes. I didn't have Rick back then to give me the bad jokes to kind of listen to.
That was your
up.
First mistake.
Yeah, but
job,
whatever. Yeah. I mean, things have improved, right? But anyways, we entered the area where the patient was to be, and we couldn't find him. And he was actually sitting in a car in his, you know, auto repair shop, okay? So the nurse didn't know what to do. And I said, well, what would you normally do? And so she, you know, put her barrier down, put her nurse's bag down, and, you know, proceeded to check his blood pressure and do a little physical exam on him while he's in the car.
What was he doing?
Well, he was just, the thing is, you know, this is, the thing is with these families and these people we take care of, this is their lives. And that was his norm. Yeah, he couldn't do a lot. Mm-hmm. But it felt good for him to be in that auto shop rather than sitting in a hospital bed.
But
in
he
the
wasn't
living room.
Taking his last breath sitting
no,
in
the
car.
No, he wasn't. Because, you know, really, we have people that are, you know, one of the advantages of hospice, even over home health, is that patients don't have to be confined to bed. I mean, it's a 6-month benefit. We have people actually that have still been working. They don't have to be homebound to be on hospice. We've had people that, you know, are going on vacation. We actually help them with the plans. We have another hospice watch over them while they're on vacation. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff we do. So this man, yeah, he wasn't working on cars, but it made him feel, you know, a sense of purpose to be sitting in that car in the shop, you know, kind of supervising the other guys working on cars and things.
You know, in the last 3 4th of July parades, we've had a patient riding shotgun. Last year, we had a 62 Imperial, the year before a Monte Carlo, and the year before that, a fire truck. And each one of them, it was such a thrill. And they're all ambulatory. They drove or walked to the parade. They walked onto the vehicle. They were fine.
Wow.
But with 6 months or less, certain diseases, you know, the problem is people call us when they're doing CPR. Hurry up, call hospice, you know, last minutes and last day
That's
of
kind
life.
Of what I always thought.
No,
you know, when,
not at
when
all.
You came in my situation, unfortunately, my mother had just had a sudden heart attack, and we knew she wasn't going to get any better and had some other complications as well. And she was on her deathbed, and I guess that's just how I pictured you.
And see, a lot of people do that. And, you know, we like to, and we can talk more about this, but, you know, one of the things we like to get patients on so we can get to know them and their families before they get to that crisis stage so we can help them. They've got to trust a good relationship established with us. Plus, they're not exhausted because we've called the troops in to help them. So when they get to those last days, they've already had some help, and we can just continue to help them till their last moments.
That surprises me, being in a parade. You stick, yeah, you're on hospice.
Well, you stick, I mean, with us, Ann. We're going to take your place.
Oh, I'll tell you more.
I'm
stories.
Already
We've
being
got
educated.
Some other good
ones. Yeah. Oh, I can't wait. I'm glad I got you for the full show today because I think when you first came in, you thought you might just be here for a segment.
I did.
I may have to do a month long series on this one.
It's going to be an Ann Darling marathon.
There you go with hospice. You're listening to Ann in the Afternoon. We have Denise Bauer and Rick Schneider from Fair Hope Hospice. We appreciate them being with us today. Denise, you were telling us you have a lot of different counties that you do, not just Fairfield.
Oh, absolutely. Service all of Fairfield County, Hocking County, Perry County, and we go into all the neighboring counties that are adjacent. You know, we go into a little bit of Franklin, a little bit of Licking, Pickaway, down towards Athens. So we try to, you know, to take care of patients. We don't want to be so far away that our response time is mm-hmm. long. I mean, when patients and families call us, we want to be very responsive. I mean, we are 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, no downtime for hospice, because our goal is to keep people in their homes where they want to be. Mm-hmm. And so when they call and they need a nurse, I need to make sure we have a nurse that can get there quickly. So we have separate staff for nights, separate staff for weekends, so they're fresh and ready to go. But one of the things they do is, you know, they, as soon as we get a call, they can answer the calls over the phone. And then if they need to make a visit or want to make a visit, the family wants a visit for any reason, we go. And so we can't be so far away that we can't get there quickly. I mean, we have had hospices from, you know, Columbus trying to service this area. And, you know, I wonder, you know, how that is very effective sometimes when you can't, you know, be very responsive quickly if your staff are spread out. So that's one thing that we pride ourselves at Fair Hope, is that our families, our staff actually live in the areas where we take care of the patients.
Yeah, so we have nurses like in Shawnee, Southern right. Perry County. Mm-hmm. So when somebody is in that area, they're there within minutes, 15, 20 minutes. They don't come from Lancaster to go to Perry County.
Right. And oftentimes they're needed quickly.
Right. And now on the weekends, I mean, you know, and evenings, I mean, there is a little longer response time, but it's never unreasonable, you know. And we always have backups to the backup. And guess what, Ann? I'm even still back up.
When Denise shows up, wow.
You know, but I mean,
it's a bad day.
Well, I start, well, no, come on, guys. That's But one of the things that, you know, I mean, I started out 16 years ago with our hospice as a nurse with the bag on my shoulder, tromping through snow. I mean, I'd wear knee-high boots and park at the end of the driveways and walk up a driveway of snow. And, you know, we can all relate to that this week, right?
Uh-huh.
But I did that to get to people. And so I've been there and I've done what they do to manage pain and symptoms. And so, you know, there really is no obstacles for us to get to people. I mean, sometimes there's challenges. But, you know, we just love what we do. We love being able to help people at a difficult time in their lives. I mean, and when you think about your family, yeah, you remember your mother's death. Mm-hmm. But when I ask people to tell me about their families, they talk about when people were born, when they graduated, maybe
milestones.
You know, milestones in death. And so we're invited to be guests to help these people mm-hmm. at a time they'll never forget. And we only have one chance to do the best we can. That's our philosophy. That's how we base the philosophy for our staff when we orient them. We don't, you know, none of us are perfect, but we have to always strive to be the best and to do the best that we can to take care of the patients, the families, significant others.
And when we do visit as a patient care volunteer, it was amazing how quickly I would become part of the family, because you're coming into an intimate situation.
Right.
With end of life approaching, family squabbles are settled or mm-hmm. made worse, whatever it is.
Yeah.
We, you know, but we try to do everything we can, but the volunteers, the nurses, the aides, doctor, they become involved with the family.
Right.
It's not a medical situation. That's what people don't realize. They still think medicine. Mm-hmm. Like Denise had said, we're spiritual, emotional, physical. Mm-hmm. Medicine might be 20% of what we do. We reduce the pain. We comfort.
I noticed you mentioned that a lot of your patients are people in their homes. And in one case, you said a body shop and in the Pickering House.
Mm-hmm.
But also in the hospitals as well. That was my experience.
Whatever they call home is where we'll go. And we don't... you know, we don't contest or compete, rather, with nursing homes. If the patient lives there, that's where they stay. You know.
Well, and you know, it's good that you mentioned the hospital, Ann, because one of the things that we do is provide care in the hospital. There's times where, and of course, you know, the hospital we work the closest with is right here in Lancaster, Fairfield Medical Center, mm-hmm. and of course, Hocking Valley Community Hospital. But we get referrals from all the hospitals in Columbus.